Lancaster Baptist Church podcast is designed to inspire you to love God, grow you in the knowledge of God's Word, and challenge you to serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
In Joshua chapter 24 is our text, and I want to share some things about the family today that I trust would help us. Just kind of things you already know. So it's not like I'm going to tell you anything you haven't already heard before, particularly from a classic passage like this. But just a kind of reminder, sometimes some of the best things in life just kind of slide back on the shelf and get out of reach. And I just want to kind of pull them back a little bit and help them to be there in the forefront of our mind. Joshua chapter 24, would you mind standing with me, please, as I read the scripture? I'm always thankful to be back with the staff here that Pastor has, these wonderful, wonderful men of God that are here serving and co-laboring with the pastor and the ladies as well. And what a joy it is to be with them too. In Joshua chapter 24, read with me starting as I begin in verse 13 of Joshua 24. Follow with me if you would in verse 13. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions, nor your sins. Father in heaven, thank you for the word of God that we have to challenge us. Thankful, Lord, that we can go to the Bible for answers in life. And I pray now, Lord, that you will use your word to speak to each of our hearts. Help us, Lord, I pray, to be more like thee, to have strong families and strong hearts for thee in the work to which thou hast called us. Bless us now. Do bless our time together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. As we all know, the family is the basic unit of society. As goes the family, so goes society, so goes the nation, so goes the culture, so go the schools, so go the churches, as the families are. And so the family is vitally important. We want to have a strong families. We want to be able to build up our families in the faith, and it's important. But there's something wonderful about the family. The family is set down by God with a man and a woman and their husband and a wife and their children. And it's interesting to me, after living in the Washington, D.C. area most all my life, that there are still legislators there in Washington, D.C. that still haven't figured out what a family's all about, what a husband and wife's all about. And I say one thing to us, remind us as Fundamental Independent Baptists, we take the Bible as our final authority. And I'm thankful today that I don't have to sit back and wait before the option is presented before the Supreme Court to decide what's right and what's wrong. I'm so thankful that I don't need Congress to tell me what's right and what's wrong. I'm just thankful to know that I have the Bible to tell me what's right and what's wrong, what's good, what's bad, the direction in which to go. The Bible clearly has the answers. We say this is our final authority. That kind of separates us from a lot of religions that are out there, because we have the Bible, the Holy Bible, to lead us. It's a lamp under our feet and a light under our pathway. I can follow the Word of God. I can have it in my heart, hide it in my heart, and let it guide my heart for my wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. So Joshua is sharing some things with these folks, the people of Israel. We realize, as they did, problems back then, but today we know how tough it is to have a good home. And by the way, if you have a good marriage, thank God for it. If you have a good family, thank God for it. Doesn't just happen these days. It happens as people follow the Lord. I've heard folks say, well, but it'd be nice to be in the ministry or to be one of these men that's on the pastoral staff or deacons or, wow, they're men of God. They're one. Listen, I want to tell you, I don't care how good someone's family is. The reason it's good is because they follow the instructions of the Word of God. The Bible has the answers. When I don't care who we are again, if I get away from the Bible, my family's going to have struggles. As I get back to my Bible, my family's going to be blessed. It's the Word of God that makes a difference in every life. Now, I also realize that although everyone in here, I think, probably would agree with me that a family is a husband and a wife, a mom and a dad, and children, I also realize in the makeup of society today, not every couple had children. Not every couple's married. Not every children have the same biological moms and dads. Not everyone who is married is still married. And so what is true of society is also true in our churches. And I recognize the fact that many of you have differences that are out there. So and because of different backgrounds and whatever's happened. A lot of you were saved later in life after you went through some struggles and heartaches and home. But may I simply say to us, it's not a matter of trying to be against anyone at all. What I want to do this morning is simply trying to build us up in the most holy faith. To come back to the Bible and say, Lord, I have a family, or I'd like, or someday I'll have a family, or Lord, I'd like to improve my family, or Lord, I know what I've done in the past, that's all forgiven under the blood of Christ. But now, Lord, just strengthen my home and my future home or my life that I have today. So wherever you are in that mix that is there, follow with me from the Word of God on how to be able to have a home that truly honors the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua had gathered the nation of Israel together in Shechem. Shechem was a valley between a couple of different mountains. And he is there after having a wonderful life as you read the book of Joshua. He is now saying, I'm getting ready to leave planet Earth. I'm dying. He's got all the people gathered together, and he's speaking to them kind of like a father to his children, as a leader to those that are followers of that leader. And he's sharing with them some things that are very important for him. And Joshua, I think, was one of the greatest military leaders of all times, as well as a man that could step up to the plate and say, as he did in chapter 24, In the latter part there, verse 15, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That was rather emphatic, don't you believe? He could say, it's not a matter of praying about it. It's not a matter we're going to think about it. It's not a matter we're trying to balance it out and see which way to go. I'm telling you, as for me, my wife, my children, my grandkids, we're following God. We're going to follow the Lord. We want the Lord's will in our life. By the way, any other will, you're going to have problems because you're going to wind up with self-will. And anytime you got self-will, you've got problems rather than having God's will. I want God's will in my life. So I want the kind of family. So how do you really have a good family? Or we've gone through some hard times, and maybe you have. Joshua enumerates several points that I need in my life to be a godly husband and a godly dad and a godly grandfather, points that I need and points that you need as well that are right here in our text that I think if we take these things, we'll find out they work, they'll help us, and they can guide us in our life. Notice with me, first of all, that a godly family is a family that fears the Lord. A godly family fears the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. As he said there in verse 14, starts off and says, now therefore, fear the Lord. He's speaking as a man of God. He's speaking as General Joshua leading the nation of Israel. He is speaking as gathering his people together whom he loved and he led for so many years after Moses passed the scene. And he led these people. He loves these people. And he is saying, as a family man, I'm telling you, one thing we've got to do in our life is fear the Lord. Fearing the Lord is not being scared of God or afraid of God, he's going to hurt me or something. But it is a matter of respecting the Lord. It is honoring God. It is realizing he is majestic. He is holy. He is righteous. He's everything we need. Just as he said in verse 19, he is an holy God. But he is almighty God. And so we come back and say, this godly family fears the Lord. Now, I am from the Washington, D.C. area. Lived there most all my life. My wife and I now live in Lakeland, Florida, where we're there a few weeks a year anyhow. But that's our home, is in Lakeland, Florida. But Washington, D.C. area, people used to always come, and anytime they'd come and visit, say, how can you stand it around here? The traffic's so horrible. It's stress city, and it is stress city, and it is problematic with all the concerns and the rush. But I want to tell you something. The traffic in Washington, D.C. is labeled as, and I read it, the number two worst traffic in America. But by far, leap years ahead of that, the number one traffic problems are in Los Angeles. I mean, my soul, you want to take your life in your own hands, you get on one of those freeways down there. I mean, it's the, you know, the quick and the dead that operate down that place. And I think, you know, as someone who likes cars, and I'm not afraid of cars at all, I am not going to step out there on one of those freeways and say, okay, we can all get along on this Sunday. I'm not about to, because it's not only the cars, it's the crazy drivers in the cars that are out there. I mean, you know it. I don't know how some of y'all do it, that commute back and forth to Los Angeles every day. But I mean, that's, you know, that's scary business in doing that. I have the joy of having Brother Matt Nicolai be able to pick me up and take me back. And usually he picks me up. I just shut my eyes for about an hour and a half until we get there. I mean, it's, you know, it's different out there on those roads. But it's a matter of respecting. When you respect, you don't have to be afraid. I'm saying, with Almighty God, I'm not afraid of him, but I respect him in his place. I don't go around and glibly talk about the man upstairs. He's not the man upstairs. He's a holy God. He's God Almighty, and he wants to be on the throne of my life, just like he wants to be on the throne of your life. As a holy God, and I have to love him and respect Almighty God in every way. We've all heard it said that the family that plays, that prays together, stays together, which is an absolute truism. But I'd also say the family that plays together stays together. We do things together as a family. We work on it as a family because it's important. And I've oftentimes, when I had opportunity of counseling people, couples, over the 40 years or so of being in the ministry, I suggest to them when I have them struggle, I say, look, write down about 25 things you can do together as a couple. And so they'll come back the next week, they'll have their homework, and they'll have down. You know, you can take walks together, you can ride a bike together, you can go shopping together. I never have understood that shopping business, but you can, I mean, a lot of things you can do to get, play games together and all. But I would like to say, in respect to the Lord and the fear of God and doing things right and building up a good holy family that I want to, there's one thing you never want to do as a couple. Don't ever try to wallpaper a bathroom together as a couple. Never do it. They don't make them big enough. I don't care if your bathroom's as big as this platform. Don't do it together. That's the closest my wife and I ever came to getting divorced, was trying to work on that little bathroom together with wallpaper, because it just doesn't work. So do anything else, but don't try that. But you do things together. That gives you light. That gives you enjoyment. That's a bonding time where it's a couple. It's a we proposition in being able to serve God. But we want to pray together. We want to play together as well. We want to have time and studying our family devotions and togetherness that's there as well. Why? Because we respect God. We respect his holy word. And we want God's holy word to work in our lives. For all of us as men, we're to be leading in our families and leading our homes and leading our wives and our children in the word of God to teach them, instruct them the right thing. And I say to all of us, gentlemen, make sure you get into the word of God. Don't ever leave it up to, well, that they'll get doctrine in church. or they'll get doctrine in school. I made up my mind years ago. I thought, you know, when my son was growing up and became a teenager, and I thought, you know what? We do teach Bible doctrine in our high school. We teach systematic theology in our high school. We do preach doctrine from the platform and from the pulpit and everything. But we made up our mind, I'm going to train my son, and I'm going to be the one who teaches him Bible doctrine. I got a Bible doctrines book. We went through the whole book, a theology book, and our family devotions because I wanted to teach him. Don't think, well, hey, we're in a great church like Lancaster Baptist Church, and it's a fantastic church. But don't relegate the teaching and training of your children to a church because it's your responsibility. The church supplements it. The school reinforces it. But it's your responsibility, gentlemen, to teach and train your children in the fear of Almighty God. And that means devotions. That means Bible reading. That means prayer time. That means getting into the Word of God and making an important part of your life. A godly family fears the Lord. A second thing I notice as well is a godly family serves the Lord. A godly family serves the Lord. Notice what he said there in verse 14 again, where he says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him." How? "In sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house," mark it down, "we will serve the Lord." God's going to be the one that we're going to have first in our lives. We're going to follow him. Our heart's going to pant after God. And we're going to give our best to following Almighty God because we love him. And so I say, family, serve the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, get involved. When God saves your soul, as he's done with most of you probably, get involved. He equips you with at least one spiritual gift to serve the Lord. Get involved in Sunday school. Get involved in the church. Get involved in knocking on doors and visitation. Get involved in going to hospital and visit. Getting involved in hospitality in your home. Get involved in discipling other people. Get involved and serving God. Now, well, but I haven't been a Christian that long. That's the more reason to get involved. Well, I've been a Christian a long time. That's the more reason to get involved. I don't care who you are. Get involved. Serve the Lord. Give God your best. Roll up your sleeves and think, well, I found out after pastoring for 35 years that the people that ever had a problem with our church in Fairfax were people that generally were not serving God. They could kind of sit back, and they were the ones that would sit back and, "I wouldn't do it that way. That's not the way." Did you hear what he said? I don't know that I agree with that. They were the ones that were the critics and the cynics that were sitting back. Now, when you're involved in serving God, you don't have time for the trivial things of life. You're involved in serving God. You're saying, "Praise God, we're going forward for the Lord. We're going to serve God. I'm going to do my part. And I'm going to have a part in the ministry and giving of myself to it and working hard at it." I mean, you really give yourself to it. You say, "Well, it doesn't make any difference. I'm in a big church and I can come or go. I can go on vacation. Been gone for 2 weeks. Came back here. This is my first Sunday back. And at this moment, nobody has said hello to me." Well, isn't that something? 2 weeks and you've been gone. Hey, listen, I told the guys, we had a fellow in our church just start another church this last week. And I was telling the 13 people that were there for the first service, I said, "You know, the thing about a church this small is if you go on a 1 week vacation, they think it was the church split." You know, I mean, half the congregation's gone there. But you say, "Well, I could come." No, listen, God Almighty keeps the records. I want to be faithful in serving the Lord throughout the summer, throughout the year, giving my best to God as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you give yourself. A godly family is that family that's serving the Lord and doing everything they can to make the ministry go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. That means we're to serve him in our walk. That is my daily acknowledgement of the Lord by personal Bible reading, my prayer life, my soul winning, my witnessing that I am doing. it is so vitally important for all of us and having my walk with God, my worship with the Lord at home, my family time, but devotional time, and my worship with God, which is what you're doing here as we worship Almighty God and trying to please Him. A godly family is a family that serves Him. We give Him everything we have. And by the way, to be able to properly walk with God means we're going to be walking in faith. We're going to trust God. We're going to trust God to, as we go out soul winning, knocking on doors, we want to pray for the Lord to be able to save more souls. We want to pray for God to work in our hearts. We want to pray. We've got financial needs right now as a family. We're going to pray before our kids that we're going to have financial needs met as well. Remember one time when our son was just a small child and we were praying and he was praying every day for a swing set. My wife was praying for a microwave and I was praying for a suit. And we all thought we had these needs, and I figured up everything it was going to take to be able to do that. Because we're doing this every day, we're praying, you know. This, I thought, you know, we could consolidate this, my practical mind thinking. We could consolidate this. And I thought, I added up the three things, and I thought, it comes up to $500. Let's just all pray for $500, and we don't have to go the individual things anymore. So we started praying, Lord, give us $500. Split it up. Everybody's going to get what they want, and we'll all be happy with that. And it wasn't long after that, and someone gave us some money. And I thought, as we came up with it, hand us a check for $500. Actually, we were praying for $450. I got the check, and I thought, well, hey, $50 goes for tithes and offerings, and then the $450, and we split it up, and we did. God took care of it. And I'm just thinking, wow, if the Lord answers prayers, and He does, why don't we pray for more things in our life? Why aren't we praying for more hearts to change? Why aren't we praying for God to work and resolve our problems? Why don't we pray, dear Lord, help us to win our neighbors and our friends and our loved ones to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us, I pray. Lord, use my family to be able to go and help out in the mission field and the work of God and going forward for the Lord. But it takes faith. It takes prayers. It takes concern and discernment. I mentioned earlier about a church that we just last Sunday, I was there in Iowa City, Iowa. We started a brand new church as one of the men in our church. And while we were driving there from Peoria, Illinois, my wife had grabbed a handful of letters that my mother-in-law had. My mother-in-law lived with us the last 10 years of her life. And she died 8 or 9 years ago at the age of 100. So she did pretty well. But she died at 100 years of age. And my mother-in-law was a writer. She had all kind of, she had shelves, reams of poems and all she had written. But she also kept letters. And she kept all the letters that my wife ever wrote her. And so, and many that I had written her. And my wife just grabbed a bunch of them off the shelf this last week. And we took them with us on our trip. And while we were driving up to Iowa City, she started reading them. And this was one of the letters she was reading. I'm going to read the excerpt from it. About faith and about prayers and about that walk with God, that we can really trust God to answer our prayers. If we have the faith, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could move mountains out there. But maybe at times we don't have. So this was, it says, Dear Mom and Dad, it was dated August the 1st, 1989. My wife, Mary, said, I just thought of a cute little story we heard this past week. One of the men at a camp where I was speaking, a family camp for a week. And she said, one of the men at that camp told us about his little boy. His boy was about 5 years old and was playing in his sandbox. He had heard how Christians can ask God ask the Lord for things. And so he asked and prayed and asked God to make his sandbox like Noah's ark and the ground and sand around him, the ocean. Well, says when his dad heard this, he asked, well, son, what happened? Did he do it? His son then told him that he didn't do it, but that was only because he had some sin in his life that needed to be taken care of. So he went to his little friend across the street and asked for forgiveness for something bad he had done. And then he asked his sister to forgive him for something and went back to his sandbox. By the way, any 5-year-old boy that asks his sister for forgiveness, that's a spiritual kid. Trust me. I had 4 sisters, and it's hard to ever do that. So this is a spiritual kid. I just wanted to throw that in there, too. So he went back to his sandbox. This time, he prayed and asked God to make his sandbox an airplane so he could fly around the sky. Then his dad asked, "Well, son, did he do it?" "No," the boy responded, "but he was just getting ready to when I remembered I don't know how to fly an airplane. And I stopped him just in time." Man, you're talking about faith. That kid had faith. Hey, you know what? The Bible says we have not because we... It may be we just need to ask in faith as well, as the Bible says, and asking the Lord to work in our hearts. Help us with our needs, finances, and with our giving, and help us with our door knocking, and help us with our family. Help our family to be strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. A godly family has that fear of God, that respect for Almighty God, and they happily are serving the Lord. You want to find somebody you want to get a job done by in the church? Hey, I learned this years ago. All I had to do was find someone who was already serving God in the church and give them more, and they're glad to take that too. Those that aren't enjoying life are those that aren't serving God through the church. So I've got my own little thing over here. It's not biblical. The biblical way of serving God is through the church, period. That's the only thing in the Bible. Anything else is outside the Bible, some good things. But I'm saying if you want authority for what you do, you come back to the Bible. A godly family not only fears the Lord and serves the Lord, but a godly family obeys the Lord. Joshua, obviously, was the great leader of his home. Look in verse 24 for a moment. He said in verse 24, "And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey." Joshua was a leader in his home. And leadership starts with the man in the home. Gentlemen, I remind us that God has given to you and me the responsibility of leading our wives and our children for Jesus Christ. It's our job. I'm the head of the home as Christ is head of me, the man. You can't delegate that to somebody else. You can't relegate it to anyone. It is your job to do it. Say, "Well, but my wife's more spiritual than I am." Well, maybe she is more spiritual, but you ought to work and do your best to become as spiritual as she is. You ought to work. Don't ever sit back and say, "Well, she's been saved." I'll never forget when I was unsaved and I just met this young lady at the church that I attended for a few times. And I was sitting next to her in church the week after I had met her. And we were sitting in church and the pastor told everyone his text. And I don't remember what it was, John 3:16 or something like that. And so I'm over there starting in Genesis and I'm trying to find out where this text was that the pastor said. And I'll never forget what Mary did at that time. She reached over, we're sitting next to you. She reached over in my Bible and took the Bible and started thumbing the pages like that and found the text for me because I didn't know where it was. And I thought as she did that, I'm sitting there, I'm steaming inside. I mean, I was so dumb and ignorant, but I was steaming inside. And I thought, "Woman, that's the last time you're going to do that. I'm going to find out where these books of the Bible are myself. And I'm going to tell you sometime where the book is. I'm going to thumb your Bible and see how you like it over there." And so I went home and I memorized all 67 books of the Bible, Genesis through Concordance. And I got them all. And I took all those books. And the next time we had to find it, hey, I knew where it was. I could find it. I made up my mind. I was going and say, "Look, all of us ought to be working at it. All of us ought to be trying to be as spiritual as we can." But gentlemen, I'm reminding us, and I know whatever Father's Day, whatever you went through, you're reminded of it again then, I'm sure as well. But I remind us, we have the God-given responsibility to train up a child in the way he should go so that when he is old, he not depart from it. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's my job to be able to teach and train you. Say, "But I'm so busy with my job and my work is so important for I have." Hey, it's not as important as your little boy and girl. It's not as important as your wife and children. It's not as important as that family that God has given to you. And you ought to say, Lord, this is the greatest stewardship I could ever have. I want to use my family. I want to train my family. I'm going to obey my family and do the right thing by God for my family. A godly family obeys the Lord. That means we husbands are going to obey and do the right thing. Bible says, and ye husbands, husband is to love his wife as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Every now and then I'll stop and meditate on that, realize how short I have fallen and the job I still have to go. But I mean, can you imagine Jesus Christ loving you so much that he actually died for you? That's a lot of love in anybody's book. That's a lot of love. And he did it for you and for all of us. And he says to me as a husband, hey, husband, you make sure you love your wife the same way I love you. Wow, God gave everything for me. God forgave me of everything I've ever done in my life. God Almighty's forgiven me. God Almighty cares about me. Even when I've committed the same sin over and over again, he's still quick to forgive me. And I ought to be the one who says, Lord, I'm going to affectionately give of myself to my dear wife, no matter what. And a lot of times we start out with the good intentions, just don't finish it up like we really ought to. Remember what it was like when you met your wife-to-be? I still remember. I met her, and then, thankfully, I got saved right away. On June 4th, 1965, I got saved. Don't start trying to add it up. It was 89 years ago. But anyhow, a long time. So anyhow, I remember that, and I remember as we would go, and I'd take her out a nice place to eat, and I would get ready, and I would wash the car. Actually, I had a younger brother. I made him wash it. But I get my car washed. I go over to pick her up, knock on the door, you know, and you go up, knock on the door, waiting for, and the dad comes. And you always dreaded the dad, but the dad would come and answer the door and say, she's not quite ready, wait here. So sure, fine, tell her, take her time. And you go and sit down, and you'd play with the dogs and the little kids, you know, the bratty kids, but you'd play with them, you know, and doing your thing and waiting on her. And then she'd come down the steps, and she's all ready to go. And you'd go out and take her outside and say, hey, we'll be back soon. We're just going out to dinner. And you'd go outside, and you'd open up the car door for her. She'd get in the car, and you just kind of, you know, jump around the back of it. You're so happy. You open up the door. You've got this nice, beautiful music playing. Nice songs there, and then you take her out this nice restaurant. You unload some money. You didn't use your credit card. You put the hard cash out there so she could see it, and it would cost you something. You bought that nice dinner and had the nice food and the nice service, and took her back home and took her up there at the door and just shook her hand goodnight or whatever you did, and then you left. I mean, it was just wonderful. You just had a great time. And then you got married. Why are you laughing? You get married 6 months later. Honey, I'm taking you out to eat tonight. I'm getting sick and tired of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. We're going out to eat. I'm treating. Now let's go. I'm not quite ready. Well, hurry up. So she tries to hurry up and get everybody ready. And you go outside and you're sitting there out there in the car. The car is running. The horn's honking. My soul, what's wrong with that woman? And so finally she gets in and you screech out of the driveway and you take off. And you take her to this restaurant. Beautiful restaurant with golden arches. It's kind of... You let her buy a Happy Meal. Hey, you know what happens? You get married and it's kind of like, well, I got her now. You know, I mean, it's a done deal. There's no backing out now. I've got her. I just now get back to living like I was and my old self now. And hey, she gets in my way. Loving your wife as Christ loves the church. And that love is giving. It's always giving. It's always doing. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That is, obey me. And you do for her. You care about her. You're doing things there because you love her so much. And you're doing things for her. I remember one time I was out in a and when I was younger, I was at a department store, and I was bought a gift for my wife, and I was up there paying for it, and a young lady there came up, and back in those days, I was younger, and she was waiting on me, and paying. She said, "Oh," and I had a skirt and a blouse. She said, "Oh, is it anniversary?" I said, "No." She said, "Oh, it must be your wife's birthday." I said, "No, I'm just wanting to get her something nice." And she said, "Sir, you don't happen to have any younger brothers that are single, do you?" Hey, you know what? Oh, that's what love does things. Love is doing. It's an action word. It's giving. And I want to give myself. And I want to obey the Lord and say, "All right, Lord, if I'm to love my wife the way that Christ loves me, then by the grace of God, I'm going to do it." And the last thing he said is, a godly family promises the Lord. We make the promises before the Lord. If you would, after Joshua had talked to the people of Israel and told them what needed to be done, notice what he said in verse 24, where he said in verse 24, he said, "And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. All the people said, "Okay, we got it. We know we're to be fearing the Lord. We know we're to be serving the Lord. We know we're to be obeying the Lord. And now we're going to make a covenant before God." And Joshua says, "All right, now, just to make sure, we're going to all come together and we're going to make our covenant before Almighty God and say, 'Yes, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. Yes, Lord, I'll obey you in everything. Yes, Lord, I will make sure I'm the man of God in my home I need to be. Yes, Lord, we're going to be the children we need to be in the family, the wife I need to be in the family. We're going to have a home that honestly, genuinely pleases God.'" And every family at Lancaster Baptist Church should be the mentor type family. So a new family could come into the church and you could say, "Now look, just follow this family over here and you do as they do and you'll be well on your way to a good Christian life. Just follow that family. Notice how they resolve problems and how they take care of situations and how they deal with difficulties that come up." And they come up. And by the way, a godly family is not a family that has no problems. A godly family is a family that solves the problems instantly. You just don't let them go on. Because when they linger, that's when you get into great trouble. And by the way, that's what a pastor and pastoral staff are for. If you can't resolve a problem within 2 or 3 days at the most, go see your pastor. That's what he's for, to help, to encourage, to counsel, show you what the Bible says, and give you answer and solutions. Look over in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 for a moment. The book of Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm finished. Ephesians chapter 2. It's a wonderful thing to have a good family. I praise God for my wife, my son Troy, and our daughter-in-law, our grandchildren. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to have a family, and a good family, and a godly family, which I have, and which many of you have as well. But notice as well, as wonderful as it is to be in our family, and I hope your family is the same way, the greatest family of all to be a part of is the family of God. When you're part of God's household, you've got it made for eternity. It's fantastic. Look what he says in Ephesians 2 and verse 19. "Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." He said, look, folks, he said, it's different now for the church. You're not strangers out there. You're not foreigners to God. Now you're part of the family. You're the household of God. How do you get in God's family? It's a lot easier than most churches make it out to be. It's simply a matter of realizing that Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. There's no way to go to God the Father but through Jesus Christ. I get that settled in my heart and mind. Then I know by God's grace, I've got to get my sins forgiven. I know I'm a sinner. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I come and realize the blood of Jesus Christ alone can cleanse me of my sin. My works can't do it. My life can't do it. My baptism can't do it. My church membership won't do it. It's the blood of Jesus Christ alone that can save me from my sins and forgive me of all of my sins. I then ask the Lord, please cleanse me by the blood of Christ. And I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and in 3 days, he is raised from the dead. Hey, no other religion can say that. Only our Savior, God the Son of God, did that for you and did that for me. And if you can come to the opinion this morning, conclusion this morning, that I believe that Christ died, buried, and was raised from the dead, and I'm putting my faith and trust in Him, and I want my sins forgiven, then thank God, based on this holy book, you can have your sins forgiven and be on your way to heaven. What a joy. A godly family fears the Lord. A godly family serves the Lord. A godly family obeys the Lord. And a godly family then covenants with the Lord. By the grace of God, we will serve the Lord. Father in heaven, thank you for our time together this morning. And thank you, dear Lord, for the wonderful people here at Lancaster Baptist Church. And Lord, how I pray for each one. I pray, dear Lord, that you'll just continually work in their hearts and lives and in ours as well. God, help me, I pray, to be the godly husband I need to be in my family and the leader I need to be in my home. And help everyone else as well.
Thank you for being a growing Christian and for joining us for today's message. To find out more about Lancaster Baptist Church or about Pastor Paul Chapel, go to lancasterbaptist.org or paulchapel.com.